Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, July 13th, and happy half birthday to me. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here. You didn't get me anything again this year. How about that? A sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine, especially this summer. Today, we got some news and notes from around the league, and yes, the Pistons made some more moves, seemingly filling out the coaching staff and helping to round out the front office with a couple hires for each of the staffs there. We're also going to be talking today about the Big Three and give you the lowdown of what to watch out for tonight at Little Caesars Arena as Ice Cube's venture hits Detroit. I'll be there. So if you're there and you want to check me out, shoot me a message on social media. Come and say hi, introduce yourselves. I would appreciate meeting some of you guys as we start to build this relationship. Take it to the next level here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Along with that, we're going to rerun a clip of an interview that we did in April with Nancy Lieberman. Some of you guys have been listening for a while. We'll remember that one, the former Shock coach and GM of the former WNBA team here in Detroit. She will be in town to coach Team Power in tonight's festivities at Little Caesars Arena. So we're going to talk about how she got involved with the Big Three, the big phone call that she received from Ice Cube back then in March during the NCAA tournament. And today also we're going to be previewing the Pistons GT team as they will be in a big the final midseason tournament for the NBA 2K League coming up this weekend. We will pass along that schedule and what to expect there. But first, a reminder of the Pistons weekend ahead. As Summer League continues in Las Vegas, the Pistons will play in second round action, win or go home, against the Chicago Bulls at 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That game will be on NBA TV. The Central Division rivalry in Sin City, as Wendell Carter Jr. has been a bit of a revelation this summer, the Duke pick for the Chicago Bulls in the first round lottery pick. A little bit of buzz about him so far on both ends of the court. Is this the second straight year that the Bulls have aced, or maybe nearly aced, the seventh pick after seemingly getting it right last year with Lauri Markkanen one season ago? I'll be interested to see that one, although I'll be up north this weekend. I'll be catching the replay probably on Sunday. It's a Michigan summer, so I'm headed to the lake, as you should too. But as I mentioned as well, some news around the NBA is coming fast and furious from Woj tonight. As I tape this, I played some hoops for the first time in a while tonight, pick up out in Huntington Woods. So we're doing this a little bit late, a little bit of a late night creep tonight. But good thing, because we can now pass along some news along the NBA that Isaiah Thomas has signed with the Denver Nuggets on a one-year minimum deal, or close to that, contract with the Denver Nuggets. Not Zeke, the younger Isaiah Thomas, but why didn't the Pistons take a shot? Well, I'm hopeful that they tried. I'm sure they tried. He'd certainly be a more exciting pickup than Jose Calderon. I'm sure they did call. But the Nuggets have the relationship between Isaiah and his former coach in Sacramento, and Michael Malone, who is now the head coach at Denver, kind of in their favor. So Isaiah probably weighed the options and saw that that might be a playing time thing. The Pistons probably had less playing time available with Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith. But hey, if Reggie Jackson goes down with another injury this year, maybe the Pistons will rue the day that they didn't send a little bit more of a serious offer in the way of Isaiah Thomas. I don't have any inside information that they did make any offers to them, but just kind of given the benefit of the doubt that Ed Stefanski and his crew are crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's as far as it goes with the free agent market out there. Some other news tonight, in addition to the Isaiah Thomas signing, Denver, they also dealt some dead contracts to Brooklyn, but had to attach a protected 2019 first-round draft pick to do it, only projected through pick 12. So Denver is a playoff possible team. You got to believe that they hope that they end up shipping that pick along to Brooklyn. But a long-rumored trade bait, Kenneth Faried of Denver, is now with the Brooklyn Nets. And the Nets were not dealing done after that, though, as they sent Jeremy Lin to Atlanta. The point guard there, coming off the ACL injury on opening night, heads to Atlanta, where he's going to be in the backcourt with Trae Young there. Atlanta gets a second-round pick in 2025, which that doesn't matter because we're all going to be dead by then, or colonized by aliens by then anyway. So also a pick swap option in 2023, and I'm about 50-50 for making 2023, so I'll forget about that one too for now. Pistons news, and yes, there was some Pistons news. Dwayne Casey finalized his assistant coaching staff, inking Micah Norrie to a deal from Denver. He was on the bench with Michael Malone with the Nuggets this past year. Micah was a college baseball player for the Indiana Hoosiers, which is a weird place to start, but hey, sports is sports. He was a scout in Toronto for many years when Casey was there, so obviously some familiarity with Dwayne Casey from his time in the Great White North for spending a couple years in Denver and now on to the Motor City. Also, the Pistons made another hire for the front office, tabbing Sammy Gelfand from Golden State as a member of the analytics staff. We've been waiting for the Pistons to make some analytics hires, getting into the 21st century finally. According to Rod Beard of the Detroit News, friend of the show, Gelfand looks to be under the assistant general manager level, not quite at that level, and that there might be another hire who rises up to that level of assistant general manager in charge of analytics on the way. The original report of the move from Anthony Slater of The Athletic noted that Gelfand was responsible for giving Golden State coach Steve Kerr the numbers all the time, made a lot of decisions based on a lot of that data, and included the push for the move to get Zaza Pachulia out of the starting lineup in favor of JaVale McGee about 3/4 of the way through the regular season for the Golden State Warriors, a move that continued throughout their run to a second straight NBA championship so this year. So Zaza can't be happy about this move. I already have a suspect if Gelfand ends up in the Detroit River at some point. I'm watching you, Zaza, so don't do anything stupid. But up next, we're going to be talking Big Three and what to expect this weekend and hear from Nancy Lieberman in an interview where, if you want to hear the whole version, I'll have links up to the longer episodes from a few months back in the description to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and also on the website at www.lockedonpistons.com. But hey, you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? I'm going to be more actively looking for advertisers now that I'm back in Detroit. And if your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have strong emotional or even more so ties to the Metro Detroit area and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men listen, 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44, a good amount of dedicated listeners. I'm about to unleash you guys as listeners on the world here as leverage to get some of these advertisers in year two, and I appreciate your support in advance. So let's work together and build the community. If you know companies who might be interested, or you are a company that might be interested, send me an email to Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H. Great rates, reasonable tries to see if the podcast market is one that will help your company succeed, and I bet it will. So email me to find out more information about advertising here on Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to give you the lowdown on what's ahead with the Pistons GT team this weekend in their final midseason tournament in the NBA 2K League, which continues throughout the summer. But Detroit should find out Monday or Tuesday if Ford Field will be hosting the 2023, 24, 25, or 2026 Final Four. Detroit is among seven cities up for the honor of hosting one of the events. So 4 years, seven cities. So about a 50-50 shot, if my math is correct there. What's different here is while the UAD was the host in 2009 when Michigan State lost to North Carolina in the finals in the Final Four back then at Ford Field, Michigan State is apparently the host school is the host school for the bid for these upcoming ones that are going on now. John Engler has been involved in the courtship of the NCAA, the embattled, shall we say? I think we can call him embattled president of the university, and man, that cannot be a good thing. Don't know how much you followed the news around MSU, and I apologize to the MSU diehards here who don't want to hear about this on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but things are not going very good, big picture-wise, in Michigan State right now when you look at some of the incidents that have happened over the last year or so and the reasons that the Michigan State Athletic Department has been in the news. Not good reasons, pretty ugly. And that cannot be helping the bid there, but we shall see. Maybe Detroit will be hosting another big event soon. But speaking of Detroit hosting big basketball events, the Big Three is in town tonight. I'm headed down there. The Big Three starts at 6 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena downtown. I believe doors open about 5 o'clock. Four games involving the eight teams in the league. Each game is about an hour. The first one you can catch if you're not going down there on Facebook Live, but then the next three, the 7, 8, and 9 o'clock games will be seen live on Fox Sports 1. Ricky Mahorn, the baddest of the bad boys, his coaching trilogy. He will be on the sidelines there. Chauncey Billups is expected to be there as well. Some other former Pistons, including player Corey Maggette and Jason Maxeal as well. We will see how this goes. I'm excited to check it out. It should be fun. These games are half court, as you've probably seen already. The games are played to 50 with twos and threes, just like an NBA game. Halftime is when the leading team hits 25. No clock, so no reason to shut down the trying. There's always a chance to come back. The four-point shot pods out there as well add another wrinkle to the game. Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf is 49 and still balling in the league. Amari Stoudemire, Ron Artest, our guys, Meta World Peace. These days, Jermaine O'Neal, Baron Davis out there playing. Ice Cube running the show as the founder of the league. Don't know if he'll be in town or not, but obviously the face behind the big three. Should be a nice spectacle here in Motor City. We'll see how it goes. The league drew 13,000 in Oracle Arena in Oakland last weekend, so we'll see if Detroit fans show up tonight. You'd think there would be some maybe Detroit music acts there too to perform a song or two, but I haven't heard anything about that. I'm sure there will be some surprises for those of us in attendance as far as what to see. I'm anxious to share with you guys what that experience is like coming up on Monday's podcast, and hopefully we'll grab an interview or two with some of the Detroit basketball luminaries of the past, or maybe even the present, or possibly the future. Who knows? But the coach of Team Power, speaking of Detroit basketball luminaries of the past, is Nancy Lieberman, the former coach and general manager of the Detroit Shock when that expansion WNBA team got started. And she joined us a couple months back to talk about the Big Three when she signed on. She has a great story about how she got involved in the league. And here's a snippet of that conversation here from a couple months back with Nancy Lieberman.
So how did it get set up for you to join the Big Three? Did you get in touch with them, or did Ice Cube and the people get in touch with you first? How did that work?
No, they called me. I was taking the year off. My mom's been ill, which is why I left the Sacramento Kings. My mom had been sick for the last 2 years, and I just felt like I needed my time to be with her in Florida. So going from Sacramento to Florida is not the easiest thing to do, and you get one shot in life to have no regrets. And I love coaching in the NBA, but I love my mom more. And so I recently just started doing some TV for early January for the Pelicans. And it kind of kept me attached to the game. And then this happened fast and furious about a week ago, Saturday, when they called me from the Big Three. And then Ice Cube called and said that, you know, this is something that was really important to them. They knew my resume very well, and obviously I was, you know, qualified, but they're about diversity, inclusion, equality, opportunity. And the way I look at it is the name of their league is the Big Three. It's not the Big One. It's not the Big Me. And to me, three means you have to be a teammate. You have to have opportunity to help people. You have to have responsibility to the person you're playing with. And I grew up playing one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, growing up in New York. It's how I grew up. Played Hoop It Up for many years. My husband was the president of Hoop It Up America, won Hoop It Up championships all over the world. So this seems to be a perfect fit for me and a blessing.
Now, Coach, you were a G League head coach, or back in the D League days, I guess, before they changed the name. And you mentioned a couple years with the Sacramento Kings staff. How has your coaching of professional men kind of evolved over the years? Is this something that maybe would surprise you before you were in that capacity as a professional men's coach that you know now over time?
Well, I wouldn't say that I started out my career thinking that I was going to coach in the G League or in the NBA. I've been playing against guys my whole life. I mean, since I was 8 years old, whether it was football, baseball, basketball, this is a world that I'm very, very comfortable in. And, you know, I mean, I can take you back to, you know, 1980 when Dr. Buss and Jerry West were so ahead of their time, and they hired me. They brought me in to play for the Lakers in their summer league. When Pat Riley didn't want me, you know, I wasn't in his mind's eye the person that he envisioned being his point guard. I was only 22 years old. But there are people in life that give you opportunity and access to what you do. And for all the horror stories that are out there, I actually don't have any horror stories about, you know, Dr. Buss and Jerry West wanting me to play. Playing 2 years in the USBL, which is a men's league. You know, Donnie Nelson, you know, having the guts to hire me not only as a coach, but as his head coach of the Texas Legends. And I contend when it's all said and done, Donnie Nelson needs to go down in history as one of the great men of courage and change, because I believe, I could be wrong, but if Donnie doesn't hire me as his head coach and we make the playoffs the first year, and the Legends last week clinched a playoff berth for the first time since the 2011 team that I coached with David Wesley. If Donnie doesn't do that, I don't think Pop hires Becky. I don't think the Kings hire me. And I don't know if Ice Cube hires me. So it took somebody really strong and someone that had a belief in equality and confidence in us as women to give us that chance. And, you know, so this is what my career has developed. I am where I'm supposed to be. Nothing in my life has happened by accident. I'm squarely where I'm supposed to be, whether it was coaching the Shock, that was my first coaching opportunity when Tom Wilson and Rick Sund hired me. And right now the Big Three is every Friday in the summer, starting June 22nd in Houston. It's live on Fox Sports 1. I'm around guys that I have coached with and against. I'm with my brothers who are Hall of Famers, you know, in Gervin, in Drexler, in Dr. J, Allen Iverson, guys, Rick Barry. I am always, I mean, it is amazing. One day I'm sitting on my couch, week ago Saturday, watching NCAA games. And the irony is I was watching Straight Outta Compton. I was going back and forth. And then I got the call. And I
your
told
new boss.
Cube, I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but I'm watching Straight Outta Compton. And I had watched it 3 or 4 times. And he just started laughing. I'm like, your son's good looking, because he played him.
Yeah, of course.
God is good in my life and puts me where I'm supposed to be. And my job is to do things the right way and to honor the game.
Now, Coach, kind of on a macro sense, we have no better person to ask this kind of question. We've seen a lot of cultural shifts in our country these last couple of years. The Me Too movement comes to mind, and so many on the other sides of the spectrum as well. Are you noticing some changes in the perception of women's sports drastically over these last couple of years? Or am I maybe overstating that as kind of a male observer on the outside?
Well, you know, I appreciate you bringing it up. You know, I remember when I was in college at Old Dominion 100 years ago, actually 76 through 80. And when we got there, it was always the chicken or the egg theory. You know, do you play and people like you and support you, or do they come first? And then they see that you can play. And again, I've been really blessed to be in places where, you know, Old Dominion was America's team before Tennessee, UConn, or Mississippi State, or any other team. I mean, we were the one who set the bar so high, winning back-to-back national championships. You know, going 100, my last 3 years, we were 104-6, and we were playing in front of sellout crowds all over the country. People just wanted to come see us and see our talent. So fast forward to where we are now with Fox and ESPN and every cable network that has women's basketball and women's sports. People, our greatest supporters are men. When you see Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, when you see Chris Paul at WNBA games, when you see him at college games, I was there last year in Dallas with Dak Prescott, and he was pulling for Mississippi State wearing their jersey. That helps legitimize what we're doing. See, the players treat us as athletes. They don't separate it as girl good or boy good. they just support us every step of the way. And you know, we're seeing more and more of that. And certainly with the Me Too movement, you know, and Black Lives Matter and racism, and you have to acknowledge some of these shortcomings. And you just can't turn a blind eye to what's happening, you know, in our country. You have to be able to say, what can I do to make this better? You know, I grew up playing in the streets. You know, I was a poor kid with no father and no food and no heat and no electricity. I played with black guys my whole life. And I'm lucky because I had Muhammad Ali. By the grace of God, this guy picked me. And he put his arm around me, you know, at 19 years old and said, there'll never be a day in his life that he's not in mine. And he was true to his word. He knew I was white, but he also knew that I was a little girl and I was broken because of my circumstances. And he helped me. Every major decision in my life, from coaching in Detroit to the Olympics to everything, Muhammad Ali was front and center. So some of the best people in my life didn't look like me. Some of the people who championed me were African American. And there is racism, and there is prejudice, and there is profiling. And we need to stop that crap now. It's not fair. Now, look, I know some white people who are just stupid. I know some black people who are just stupid. I mean, that's not just attached to a gender or a race. But, you know, these movements are real. And we have to do something. What are we doing about it individually? Because I don't want to go back through Harlem and have somebody who doesn't look like me, you know, hate me. I want them to love me because of my heart, because they know I care. And I want to love them because I know they're going to protect me, and I love and I care about them too. I'm a minority, and minorities shouldn't be pitted against each other.
The Pistons GT team is back in action this weekend for the final midseason tournament for the NBA 2K League. The Video Gamers open action for Detroit at 8 p.m. tonight against Jazz Gaming, who are 5-4 in the regular season, a lower seed in this event than the Pistons GT team, who come in at 6-3 in regular season play so far. The tournament actually started on Thursday with some of the lower seeds battling out to get into the quarterfinals, where the Pistons GT team was already in. I believe the second round, not quite the quarterfinals. And the tournament will continue through Saturday. The Pistons GT team just playing on the one game tonight. But Saturday we'll have some more action. The finals are set for 7 p.m. on Saturday night, so we'll check that out throughout the weekend. And good luck to the boys there. So you can check out the Big Three on FS1 on television, then get the second screen going with the laptop or your phone and get it on Twitch and follow the Pistons GT team there. After this weekend, the boys will have 4 more weeks of regular season play left, and then the playoffs at the end of the inaugural season is approaching here for the NBA 2K League, and I'm interested to catch up with those guys at least one more time before the season ends here. But give us a follow here on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. I'll pass along my thoughts on how things go with the Big Three event tonight at Little Caesars Arena. Also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. I like to keep you guys abreast with the news. A lot of retweets there from the news of the day that involves the Pistons or Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace out in China. Those videos there. Whatever news happens to deal with former Pistons or maybe current Pistons or maybe future Pistons, and whatever's out there that I find to be interesting to Pistons fans. So give that one the alerts on your phone just so you don't miss anything Pistons news related. I stay on top of that Twitter throughout the day. So also give it the Facebook page a like at Locked On Pistons Dash Match Shook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. This is your host, Matt Shook, for the Locked On Pistons podcast. And enjoy Big Three. Enjoy the NBA 2K League. Who says, and the Pistons in Summer League as well, who says mid-July is a dead period for the NBA?